We're doing Netivot Shalom, and our topic is the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. The Rebbe of Slanim quotes from an earlier Rebbe who said, what does it mean when the Talmud in Tractate Rosh Hashanah says one day a year counts like a year? We have this concept in Halacha. If a king was king one day into the year, let's say we're talking about King Netanyahu. So let's not talk about King Netanyahu because we're going to discuss the king dying. So let's say King Obama. King Obama is going to be king one day past Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei. So then, even if he drops dead that day, and they appoint a new king, who's the vice president, what's his name?
Biden,
yeah. If King Biden takes the throne, so when you write contracts for the whole year, you could write, it was year number 8 for King Obama, or year number 1 for King Biden. You could write either one. So the Talmud says, yes, if he was king one day out of the whole year, we consider the whole year his year as well. So that's the rule the Talmud says. Yom echad b'shana chashuv shana. One day out of the year counts as a year. Shafilu b'yom achon sheshana afshar takent kol hashana. So he said this concept applies also retroactively, which is true in halacha also. Let's say King Biden became king. Obama drops dead on the day before Rosh Hashanah. Sunday morning, Obama has a heart attack. Biden takes the throne. Biden was king for one day, and then Rosh Hashanah came in. So then that day counts as year 1, and now we change the year. Year 2 starts on Rosh Hashanah. This was instituted so that the scribes wouldn't be confused. Like, which day was he appointed on? No one had real calendars back then. So if next year comes around, or the next year, you have to keep track. Which day of the year this king was appointed, which day that. Everyone knows, comes Rosh Hashanah, next year starts. So even if he was king for one day, even if it's one day at the end of the year, that counts as a whole year. And the next day on Rosh Hashanah starts year 2. Clear? So he said the same concept is true with spirituality. With one day out of the year, you can fix the whole year. Ve'kolshken b'shabbat achonah, and certainly the final Shabbos. Shevadai v'shal alot bat kol shabbatot hashana. We discussed this. You can uplift all the weeks of the year. Every Shabbos of the year, if you can get that Shabbos right. V'yesh losif al kach. We can add to this. Shemilvan ma'shev shal takem shabbat achonah tashana shechalfa. Aside from what we can fix in the final Shabbos, harehi gam ashar v'achana likat hayamim hanorim shel shana chadasha. The final Shabbos is the gate. It is the preparation for the awesome days that are coming. Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur are called the awesome days. Yamim noraim. Awesome as an awe. Kinei kasher yudi omed kodem Rosh Hashanah, when a Jew stands before Rosh Hashanah, hashela nitzevet b'fanav, the question that stands before him is, Behechan pin yekumun kamei malka. How are we, with what face are we going to stand up before the king? How am I going to enter that awesome day? God's going to judge the whole world. I once had a day camp. And the day camp ran for, I don't remember, 4 weeks or 8 weeks in the summer. I would buy an old jalopy before the camp. Like an old taxi or an old police car or something. Buy an old car. Use it to run the camp. And at the end of the summer, I'd sell it sometimes to a junkyard. Okay, so I'm running this camp, and I'm taking them on a trip, and suddenly I see flashing lights behind me. I pull over to the side, and the policeman starts talking to me, and after about 2 minutes, he says, you know, you're not drunk. I said, right. He said, so why are you driving like that? I said, what did I do wrong? He said, you didn't stay in your lane. You kept shifting within your lane, to the left, to the right. I said, I don't know. I kept the steering wheel straight. He looks at my tires, and he says, you're driving with bald tires. You can't stay straight, even though you're staying a little straight. What I saw when I was behind you is that you're shifting within your lane. Your tires are bald. You got to change your tires. I said, okay. How long do I have to change my tires? He said, I'm giving you a ticket. In 8 weeks, you're going to appear before the court. And you tell the judge that I said that if you can bring him a receipt that you changed those tires, he should waive the ticket. So you have 8 weeks to change the tires. Okay. I said, but I can drive. You know, it's not, nothing's dangerous. It's just, he said, long term, you shouldn't drive this way. I'm giving you a ticket. You get a change within 8 weeks. Okay, camp was over in 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, I sold it to a junkyard. Now I have this ticket standing, and I'm supposed to come and show the judge. So I said, I'll show him. I sold the car to a junkyard. And this is the ticket. This is what the policeman said. Either I'll have a ticket for, I think it was like $150, or I won't have the ticket, you know, whatever the judge will decide. I come to court, and the judge is so nice that the guy before me has this ticket for speeding, and he tells him, why were you speeding? And the guy says, my girlfriend called, and she was so upset at me. I was under such pressure. I had to fly. And the judge says, look, that's no excuse. I can't take anything off for that. Can you say something better? The nicest judge in the world, right? And I have to tell you, what am I going to lose when I stand before this judge? $150, right? I knew what the ticket was for. No one's throwing me to jail. No one's going to tell me you were a bad boy. And I was trembling. I was so scared. And I see how nice the judge is. And I was so scared. And I asked myself, what are you so scared for? And then I said, you're about to stand before a judge. They're going to judge you. And I said, right, but they're not going to throw you to prison. You know, what's the worst thing? You'll pay $150. Fine. And I was scared. I was really scared. And I thought to myself, I'm not this scared before Rosh Hashanah. I'm not. And here we're talking about $150. So the judge was pretty nice. He waived half the ticket. He said to me, junkyard? You can make $350 on a junkyard? That's a lot of money you made here. I said to him, it's not a lot of money if you take the $150 from me. He was okay. He took away half of it. But why? We're coming to judgment day. We should really be scared. A person should think to himself, how can I? How can I enter that awesome day? How am I going to express all those things that bother me? When the etch omdim b'fanav, המסכים המבדילים והמחיצות שנוצרו מחטב משך כל השנה, I'm supposed to talk to God. I've done so many things this year that stand in my way. How am I going to do that? So we're coming to the final Shabbos before, and I have to think, how am I going to approach that? Achen Ashar Lekach, says the Rebbe of Slum, you want to know how? The gate is Shabbos. This Shabbos, the final Shabbos, is the gate that lets you in. As it says in the holy work, Be'er Mayim Chaim and Parshat Nitzavim. We always read Parshat Nitzavim, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes it's Nitzavim Vayelech, sometimes only Nitzavim, but Nitzavim always. The Zohar, the holy Zohar writes, all the blessings of above and below are contingent on the seventh day. Everything that affects the week is all decided on the Shabbos beforehand. When I was a child in elementary school, the way the Rebbe quoted the Zohar, he didn't tell us it was a Zohar, but he said the following Hasidish idea. He said, if you pay attention to your Shabbos, everything that happens on Shabbos will happen again during the week. You wake up late for davening, you'll wake up late during the week. Every hour of Shabbos corresponds to an equal part of the week. So, I don't know what to tell you. That's what the Rebbe said when I was in elementary school. Okay? He said, look at your Shabbos, and you'll see how it's reflected the whole week. So the Zohar writes, that's the idea of this great Shabbos. We have Shabbat HaGadol. What is the Shabbos before Pesach is Shabbat HaGadol because all the lights of Pesach come in already from that Shabbos. Shabbat Shuvah, that's next Shabbos, that's because all the lights of Yom Kippur are going to come down next Shabbos. From Shabbos to Yom Kippur, they're already here. And this Shabbos, that's the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, all the concepts of Rosh Hashanah are already coming down from heaven this Shabbos. The time that people are going to stand in judgment on Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be decided how long they're going to live, how much money they're going to make, how much food they're going to have. It all starts this Shabbos. And on Rosh Hashanah, a person can grow. All of that starts on Shabbos. Our sages said, we're all seen in one split second. Be'achat sekira, we say it, right? We say it on Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, Hashem gives each person individual attention. On the other hand, in one split second in heaven, they see everyone, see everything, and come to a decision. It happens, the Talmud says there are dual things that happen in heaven. There's that split second of everyone, and then there's also individual attention. Be'achat sekira, it says Hashem in one glance sees everything. You guys know what I'm talking about? Be'achat sekira ben tov l'ra levaker? No. Okay. So we have to study the prayer of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so Thursday night, bring machzorim. Mezachem Thursday night, we'll have to sit down and learn. And if you guys have koach, well, I recommend you take the Mishnayos of Rosh Hashanah also in your free time, start going over the Mishnayot of Rosh Hashanah, get a picture of the Rosh Hashanah, 4 chapters, it's very easy. Quickly go over the English. And your free time, not at the expense of your regular learning, try to get a picture. So, all the souls pass before Hashem in a split second, and Hashem looks at each one and gives each one what's fitting the root of his soul. That starts on this Shabbos. So this Shabbos is the gate to Rosh Hashanah. Ve'im ki lechora arei gam negabe Shabbat Kodesh nitzevet ota sheila. We could ask the same question about Shabbos. How am I standing before Hashem? If it starts Shabbos, so the same question applies to Shabbos. How do I enter such a Shabbos? But the concept of Shabbos is that Shabbos is beyond the question of levels. Shabbos affects everyone. How many people were chozer b'tshuva through Shabbos? Shabbos is not a question of what level you're on. Shabbos is above all of that. We say in the song, Ka Ech Sof Noam Shabbos, it says over there, Shabbat Kodesh, Nefashot Yisrael B'tzel Knafecha Yechsayun. On the Holy Shabbos, it's as though every Jew comes under Hashem's wing. Shabbos is a special relationship. We get to enjoy a closeness with Hashem that's irrelevant the rest of the week. And it says in the book, Torah Tavot, Shabbos is like the king who takes his son and says, come in, enjoy my honor. That's Shabbos. You're not working on Shabbos. You're not dealing with everything else. You're not looking at your cell phone. You're not thinking about your emails. There's a time where Hashem says, don't worry about the world. Now you're with me. Yom Tov is like the king comes down to his kid's house and says, I'm going to be with you. That's Yom Tov. Hashem's coming with us. On Shabbos, Hashem brings every Jew up to him. The Pasuk says, I took you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. It means on Shabbos, it's like the couple getting back together again. Am Yisrael reunites with Hashem. Our sages say, Hashem said to the world, my match in the world is the people of Israel. And so Hashem says, I'm bringing you home on Shabbos. And that's the explanation when we say, on Shabbat, all the Jewish souls are under Hashem's wings. Under Hashem's wings, Hashem takes everyone up to Him. We're benefiting from that. And then, so to speak, we enjoy the pleasures of His home. The Pasuk says, "Im tashiv mi Shabbat raglecha," if you can contain yourself from walking on Shabbos the way you do the rest of the week, it's tempting. It's tempting to look around, to check your business out, to keep an eye and think about the business on Shabbos. As titenag al Hashem. Then you'll have pleasure with Hashem, because the greatest pleasure is really Shabbos. But that's if you can hold yourself back. If you sit on Shabbos and you talk about the business of the week, and you think about the business of next week, you've destroyed the Shabbos. You know, there's an old joke. People talk on Shabbos business, and then they say, Nisht of Shabbos Geret. This is not what we should be talking about on Shabbos. You know that? It's a common saying in shuls, right? Nisht of Shabbos Geret. We shouldn't talk about it on Shabbos, but are we going on the trip together next week? So a guy comes back to the back of the shul and he tells his friend Chaim, Nisht of Shabbos Geret. We shouldn't talk about it on Shabbos, but is your car for sale? So Chaim says, Mordechai, Nisht of Shabbos Geret. We're not going to talk about it on Shabbos, but yes. Mordechai says, Chaim, Nisht of Shabbos Geret, but how much are you asking? Chaim says, Nisht of Shabbos Geret, but Mordechai, I want $5,000 for that car. Mordechai looks at him and says, Nisht of Shabbos Geret, but don't you think it should go for $3,500? I mean, it's a really used car. He says, Chaim, Nisht of Shabbos Geret, but I think I can get $5,000 for it. So he says, Nisht of Shabbos Geret, I'll think about it. He comes back to him 5 minutes later and he says, Nisht of Shabbos Geret, but I'll give you $4,500. And he answers him, Nisht of Shabbos Geret, but it's already sold. So sometimes we could be saying Nisht of Shabbos Geret. We're not going to talk about it on Shabbos. And then we end up talking about it. Well, if we want Shabbos to be that type of Shabbos, where I have the pleasure of holiness, then I have to put the brakes. I'm not going to look at the cell phone. I recommend the cell phone shouldn't be off. You shouldn't hear the SMSs coming in. You shouldn't hear your emails coming in. Don't have that temptation on. If my Shabbos is a different Shabbos, so then I can start accessing that different type of pleasure. Nachmanides writes, he says, we don't bring a sacrifice of a sin offering on the Musaf of Shabbos whereas all the holidays do get that sacrifice, and that's because Shabbos represents peace. We're not talking about what's wrong in the world on Shabbos. In Shabbos, it's as though everything's right. Why? But not everything's right. That's true. But there's an important verse in Mishlei. The verse says, "Al kol pesha'im techase ahava." Love covers all rebellious actions. Rebellious actions, pesha. That means, I remember, someone in yeshiva was dating a girl and they were about to get engaged. And he came to Rabbi Feinstein and he said, "Rebbe, I think this girl is the right girl, but I'm not blinded. She's not perfect. But I think it's right, but she has her flaws." So Rabbi Feinstein said, "Okay, so things should go well for you." And he says, "Do you mean I should get engaged?" And he said, "You said she's the right girl." So he said, "Right, but she's not perfect. She has her flaws." So Rabbi Feinstein said, "And what's wrong?" And the guy said, "Well, right now I'm very excited. I want to marry her. So those flaws don't bother me that much. But what'll happen a few months down the road or a few years down the road when I won't be so excited and then those flaws will remain? How will life manage?" So Rabbi Feinstein said to him, "Al kol pesha'im techase ahava." He said this pasuk. Love covers everything, even things that are completely wrong. So he said, "Yeah, but now I'm excited. What'll be in a few years?" And Rabbi Feinstein answered him, "In a few years you'll love her more than you do now. You won't love her less." And this concept, that's a concept that's supposed to guide us in life. So Shabbos represents that. That's why on Shabbos we don't bring a sin offering. It's not that I didn't do anything wrong. It's that Shabbos overrides that. There's love in the air on Shabbos. So I don't bring sacrifices about what I've done wrong. Our sages say that Shabbos can gain atonement even if the generation was outright pagans. And so the preparation for Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, we reach a state which is above our perception. You ask a person, I have a relative who runs a business, he has a factory, he has over 30 workers, and his workers once said to him, "Why don't you answer the phone on Shabbos?" And he said, "I have a day when I don't answer phones. I don't look at emails, I don't use electricity, I don't turn a light on, I don't turn a light off." And some of his workers said, "That's amazing. We should try that." And he said, "Who's stopping you?" And so the workers got together and they decided the next Shabbos they're all trying that. They got together, a group of them, like 7 workers. They said, "Next Shabbos, we can do like the boss. We're going to shut our phones. We're going to not touch electricity. We'll have a family day." No one lasted the day. No one. None of them could do it. They came back the next morning and they said, "Boss, do you really do it? Do you really do it all day? You really don't answer a phone? You really don't turn on a light?" They couldn't do it. We're given a tremendous blessing with Shabbos. It's above nature that a person can say, I'm not interested in all that. I'm in a different world. I'm in a different planet. This concept also applies in the story of Tshuva. In the parsha, it says, "Return to Hashem, your God." It doesn't matter how far away you are. Hashem says, "I want you back." And the Rebbe of Kuvrin says, "What does it mean if you're at the edge of the heavens, Hashem wants you back? Even if in the most fundamental points of your personality, you have things that are wrong, Hashem says, I still want you back." It doesn't matter. The edge of the heavens, the Rebbe of Kuvrin says, that represents the most fundamental points in your personality, the most fundamental points where you should connect to the Creator. Even if that's you're far away on that too, Hashem says, I want you back. So how does tshuva do that? The Zohar writes that tshuva doesn't help if you've got points that are wrong in the fundamental aspects. You got to have the most extraordinary tshuva for that. And so he explains that tshuva together with Shabbos, that's how you overcome it. Shabbos allows you to propel forward even if you didn't do the perfect tshuva. The two work in cohesion. The Chidah writes, "Shavta Hashem Elokecha," you'll return to Hashem your God. That Shavta is Shabbat. That's how you return to Hashem your God. You want to purify your insides? The Chidah writes, that's through Shabbos. Shabbos is what can affect one's soul to purify internally. Based on that, we can understand that tshuva together with Shabbos, then even if a person's wrong in the most fundamental points, on Shabbos he can overcome that. His tshuva can get new heights. And based on that, he explained the Medrash. The Medrash says that after Cain killed Abel, Cain killed Hevel, the first murder in the world, Adam met him. And Adam asked him, Cain, what happened? How did God judge you? And Cain says to his father, he says, Dad, I did tshuva, and I reached an agreement with God. And Adam started smacking himself across the face. Adam said, I am such a fool. How come I didn't know I could do tshuva? God was judging me, and I didn't do that. Adam said to Cain, that's what the Medrash said. Adam stood on his feet and said the psalm, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, a song in honor of Shabbos. What's the connection? He just told you about tshuva, and Adam singing a song in honor of Shabbos. Ah. Adam asked him, how did you get out of your court case? He asked him, how could you get out of it? You killed your brother. That's pretty severe. How could you do tshuva for that? You killed 25% of the planet. It's true. It's true. Adam, Eve, Cain, Hevel. He says, so how do you do tshuva? And he said, I did tshuva, and I reached a pshara, which we translated an agreement. So he said, you know, all week long, I have to travel the earth. I'm never going to settle down. I have no roots. Hashem says, you uprooted a soul, you will have no roots. You'll be traveling your whole life from now on. But on Shabbos, I can settle down. And that's what the grandfather of Lechkovitz said. It says, Hashem placed a sign on Cain's forehead. What was that sign? That's the sign of Shabbos. Shabbos is called the sign. And then Adam Rishon said, what? Through Shabbos you could reach an agreement with Hashem that on Shabbos you won't be punished, you'll have it easy? Wow, he said a song in honor of Shabbos. And he realized that even after a murder, even after a decree from heaven, he could reach an acquittal through Shabbos. He can reach an agreement where there's a compromise through Shabbos. Tshuva and Shabbos helped him out. And then he said, ah, okay, so tshuva with Shabbos is the key. And that's why he's saying in honor of Shabbos. Our sages say, Hashem said to Moshe, I have a great gift in my treasury, in my hidden treasury. It's called Shabbos. I want to give it to the Jews. Go tell them. What does that mean, go tell them? Go tell them that a person will be found in the Garden of Eden and he won't enjoy it because he doesn't realize he's in the Garden of Eden. You could be there in Shabbos and be thinking, I wish I could touch my cell phone. The chillin wasn't hot enough, wasn't tasty enough. I didn't get a good enough portion. On Shabbos, a person is with the Ribon Shel Olam. But he could be there and not sense it. A person could enter Shabbos and the nerves of the whole week are still within him and he's not common. And the only thing he could do is drink a beer, drink a vodka, knock out, you know, the donut, right? You know the donut, right? Those guys that enter Shabbos and say, I'm hitting the sack, wake me up on Matzah Shabbos. The donut, 24 hours there in bed. Okay, you shouldn't know that. You shouldn't know that, right? That's not a Shabbos. He missed the whole Shabbos. You ask him, how was your Shabbos? Oh, great! No, that's not great. What do you mean? That's not a Shabbos. Shabbos is a totally different level. Hashem tells Moshe, go tell them. Tell them what I'm giving them because they can have that Shabbos and they won't appreciate it. And a person can grow on Shabbos where he can't grow the rest of the week. The ascent a person can make on Shabbos is unparalleled. A person can purify his whole innards, everything internal, the most basic points through Shabbos. And that's why Moshe went to tell them. And that is what we think about as we enter this Shabbos, which is the final Shabbos, which leads us into Rosh Hashanah. And that's why we say this Shabbos is the gate, the entrance to all forms of holiness, because we're entering the holiest days. This is the Shabbos that brings us there.